Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Barbara Ehrenreich, you know Nickel and Dimed and our other great books coming up in 15 minutes. She has the cover story in The Nation this week called Reimagining Socialism. That's with friends like those, Obama maybe doesn't even need Glenn Beck. I don't know. But Barbara Ehrenreich coming up in 15 minutes to talk about that and the conference she'll be doing for free tonight on the Upper West Side. But one battle over how to cope with the recession appears to be starting now in New Jersey. Governor Corzine is telling state workers that they will need to take furloughs, 12 unpaid days a year, to avoid layoffs of about 5,000 to 7,000 state workers entirely. The union doesn't like it and says the governor shouldn't offer ultimatums. Here is Governor Corzine on whether he can do this.
It is very clear from everybody's perspective that wage freezes have to be negotiated. There is a debate about whether furloughs are something we can do at our discretion or whether it will have to be argued in court. There is no question that layoffs are at the judgment of the state. We would prefer to use the first two, a combination of wage freezes and furloughs.
So wage freezes and furloughs from Governor Corzine speaking yesterday. And we're joined by WNYC's Bob Henley, a New Jersey taxpayer himself. At least, Bob, I hope you pay your taxes. A lot of the alternative is going around these days in the Obama cabinet and elsewhere. The governor's budget address isn't until Tuesday, but he's asked for the furloughs and wage freezes already.
Well, he's trying to set the groundwork. He's got to come up with a budget that is like in the $29 billion realm. That's $3 billion short of what it was last year. The problem here is we're missing the leadership moment. You know, what is political leadership? It's getting people to suspend their self-interest for a collective benefit. And the governor is also running for re-election right now. He was supposed to reform the way the state of New Jersey handled its finances. There was this collapse of the economy that happened. That work he wanted to do didn't get done. He had the accident. As the Star Ledger reported, a great story, he was out of the state for 105 days in 2008. Hmm. So now he's got to get his head back in the game, and the public workers feel like he's using beating up on the public workers as a way to tap into the frustration and anxiety people are feeling everywhere. Public workers are having a hard time now because, A, they have a job, and they have benefits that have for a long time outstripped the private sector. So one of the things that you might have seen perhaps if it wasn't so partisan in such an election season, what about the idea of Corzine saying to the CWA and to all the parties, let's go to Drumthwacket and take the weekend, bring our sleeping bags, and come up with something that works in real time and get stakeholders in rather than doing this through the papers and trying to position. We're not seeing that.
Yeah. CWA, the Communication Workers of America, the union that represents state employees in New Jersey. Drumthwacket, the unfortunate name of the mansion.
Thank you for translating it, Jerseyese.
The governor lives, to those of you not familiar with New Jersey. But this is a dilemma, Bob, isn't it, for all kinds of workers, public and private, being asked to take pay cuts or wage freezes or the occasional unpaid day to avoid layoffs, to figure out how much is really legitimate shared sacrifice and how much is just management riding the opportunity of the recession to cut wages and benefits or to gin up political anger on, you know, on their side in a politician's case.
Right. I guess, you know, you look at the FedEx model, which may or may not be working, but CEO Fred Smith of FedEx said a while back last year that, you know, let's have everyone take 5% who is a salaried employee and 7.5% for management in terms of cuts and rollbacks and wages, and there will be no layoffs. Now, apparently, I'm hearing the regional press that that may not work out that way, but at least it set a tone. We really haven't seen, either with Governor Patterson or with Governor Corzine, the political skills to rise to the moment of the crisis. You're still using a 1990s playbook where it's like, I'm against the public unions and the workers that are getting fat on the back of the taxpayer. And meanwhile, President Obama, and this is where it gets incoherent, is saying, let's create jobs. Let's redistribute the wealth, if you will, to have the people that were not, who got off relatively free in terms of taxation, the top 1%, let's have them pay more. So there's a kind of incoherence between the state message we're getting and what we're getting nationally.
We just have a very short time for this, but New Jersey state workers, anyone listening, 212-433-WNYC. How do you feel about this? New Jersey taxpayers, 212-433-9692. I know state workers, you're taxpayers too.
Right.
But, and other taxpayers, 212-433-WNYC.
One of the things I think the problem is the Obama administration, to some degree, has been moving around knickknacks and not the furniture. One of the things we have to face is that public pensions around the country are in free fall right now. Municipal, county, and state pension funds are where Social Security is going to be at in 15 years, both in terms of health care costs and the fact that the market's not been performing well, so the governments are really dealing with this liability. The time may come, Brian, that the federal government is going to have to adopt a European model and take all those public pension plans from the municipal, county, and state and unify them as one central federal pension. And if you consider what's going on with Social Security, while it may not be viable in terms of macroeconomics, they do a good job delivering the checks to each person that is a client of Social Security. That then could be a down payment. You could say to that 25 million group of people, you're a down payment on universal health care. You could say to the public employees, unify them as some kind of, so, you know, we've got to do what-if journalism here.
You're also our City Hall reporter in New York, and we haven't heard about city worker furloughs in New York City, despite a big budget deficit there. We haven't heard about state worker furloughs at the New York state level, even though the budget deficit is about $14 billion.
Clawbacks you heard about there. He does want pension changes, and he does want them to forego some of the wage advances they've had.
In New Jersey, the deficit is only about $2 billion, small by New York and California standards, certainly. What's the difference?
Well, there really isn't, because in the case of New York City, you may remember before the federal stimulus was rolled out, Mayor Bloomberg was talking about draconian cuts with teachers. Now, with this back and forth, the kabuki dance between Albany and New York City over the $500 million you and Andrea discussed yesterday about the Medicaid reimbursement.
Whether the city gets more or other counties get more.
Exactly. You may see the layoff thing, you know, resurface again. So it's not done.
On the brighter side, Governor Corzine yesterday announced more than $800 billion in stimulus spending on state infrastructure, mostly roads and mass transit. Can you tell from the announcement how many jobs will be created?
You can't, but what you have to give the governor high marks for is clarity and getting out there and laying out what they're going to do, because that gives us and the public an opportunity to grade their success. I don't think that New York State has come up with such a clear list yet. So now we can begin to track the so-called shovel ready.
Leslie in Bergen County, state worker? Leslie, you're on WNYC. Hi. Leslie. Okay. How about Ash in Park Ridge? Ash, you're on WNYC.
I have a recommendation and there are a suggestion that I think they should freeze the employees, all employees, teachers, and all the state and municipal employees who make over X amount of dollars, something like 100,000 or so, and like Obama did for the White House employees. But I think Obama should go ahead and do it for the entire nation, for all the municipal, state, and the government employees.
Thank you, Ash. So there's some sentiment out there to freeze public worker salaries. But Ash also said at the beginning of that call, maybe for those who are higher paid and
that's
do it on
a small fraction,
ability
though.
To
right.
pay basis.
The 100,000 number, I think, in terms of the workforce represented by the CWA, that would be, you know, generally they're in the $40,000 range. And the other thing, too, is we've talked about this before. We talk about renegotiating the social contract. For a long time, historically, public workers came to work in the government and there was a kind of understanding that they wouldn't make private sector salaries,
right,
but there'd be a kind of stability to the workforce. And now we see
job
that's
security,
changing.
Job security and a good pension. Well, what about the relative merits here of the various things that the governor laid out in that clip? He couples wage freezes and furloughs, and the furloughs would be 12 unpaid days a year in addition to a wage freeze versus layoffs. And, you know, I know one union leader in the private sector who wasn't talking to me on the record, and he hasn't been confronted with this yet for his union. But he said, my attitude would be on bring on the layoffs. You are not cutting the standards of employment for my members. Now, I'm guessing that's a minority position
it's
among
old
union
thing.
Leaders.
You get right to the point. The problem here is both the political class and the labor leaders are stuck in a 1990s playbook. The world is going to shambles around them, and they keep going back to the old rhetoric. The problem here is that Corzine wants ownership of these ideas. He needs to have a process that brings everybody in so they feel like they all arrived at it. That's where we're not seeing yet the kind of consensus around moving forward and the lack of confidence in the economy, because leaders, whether it be labor or political leaders, are not thinking anew. Can you imagine if this was something where unions felt they had ownership in these decisions? It would be a different conversation.
Blaze in Bayonne, you're on WNYC. Hi, Blaze.
How you doing, Brian?
All right.
Brian, the problem with New Jersey is we have too big a government. We have the highest taxes in the nation. Some say two times. I've figured even it could be even higher than that. You know, you can't do everything when you have too big a government.
You're exactly right. I mean, we've talked about this, and this is one of the things that Corzine discussed reforming. 566 municipalities, several hundred school districts, and independent utilities and authorities. The proliferation of these is a significant downdraft on the economy, and now that we're feeling this economic downturn, the caller is exactly right.
Meanwhile, the politics. This is an election year in New Jersey, and I gather Governor Corzine is actually behind in the polls to at least one Republican challenger.
Right, and that, of course, is former U.S. Attorney Chris Christie, Morris County freeholder. A great deal of skepticism about him originally when he came in because he was his claim to fame was a regional political figure who had made big contributions to the Bush administration, had never really been a trial attorney, but apparently was a great manager and racked up all kinds of significant criminal convictions over 200 elected officials, and apparently let the career people there do their job. Now, he has been talking about the endemic corruption in New Jersey, and he seems to be rolling up a very early advantage towards the June primary.
This seems to happen with every Senate and governor's statewide election in New Jersey for the last decade. You and I have talked about this. The Republican takes an early lead because voters are disenchanted with a McGreevy or a Torricelli or a Menendez or a Corzine. And then the campaign starts in earnest, and New Jersey voters remember why they're mostly Democrats.
Well, let's go
back,
though.
And the Democrat wins. Any reason to think that pattern won't hold?
Having spoken with some very senior labor people who are Democrats, they were talking about the Florio experience, where Whitman won by a few 10,000, 20,000, 30,000 votes, and it was a result of big labor not being enthusiastic and supporting the Democratic incumbent. So you have to also feel that the Republicans have been out for so long in New Jersey that a good grassroots campaign could make inroads. On the other hand, you know, it's true. Corzine, once he gets involved with raising issues like pro-choice, perhaps he can get some of the Obama glow, assuming that it's still around by next November. Because remember, I do believe he's the only Democratic governor seeking re-election in this next cycle, nationally.
Right. It's not a national election year. All right. Well, we're going to leave it there. We're going to hear more details from Governor Corzine in a formal budget address on Tuesday, correct?
Right.
All right. Well,
thanks so much.
He's laying down the gauntlet. WNYC's Bob Henley, thank you.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Barbara Ehrenreich next. Stay with us.